Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
These were the holy Ten Commandments God gave to us by Moses' hands, when high on Sinai's mount he stood, receiving them for our good. Have mercy, Lord.
The first stanza of the hymn, "These Are the Holy Ten Commands." Of course, the Ten Commandments are just part of a body of teaching that has come to define, at least at the level of, well, I think at the level of every Lutheran, what it means to be Lutheran. You usually call them the six chief parts, the six main parts of the Christian faith: the Ten Commandments, the Creed, that is the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Scripture's teaching on baptism, on confession and absolution, and on the Lord's Supper. Those are the six parts. That's the organization of a now ancient book written by 16th century reformer Martin Luther called Luther's Small Catechism. Now, there was a time when you could walk into, say, an evangelical and reformed church or a Methodist church. You might find them using Luther's Small Catechism. They may spend some time explaining away some of the things that Luther teaches there. But nowadays, you can walk into a Lutheran church and nary find the thing. Or if it's there, it's on the shelf and not being taught in some cases, not being used as a primary resource for the instruction in the Christian faith for young and old. Is that a problem? Joining us to talk about the place of Luther's Small Catechism in the life of the church, it's just a little book. Could it be that important? Pastor Lincoln Winter, he's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Wheatland, Wyoming, and author of a new resource titled Teach These Things, Catechesis in the Lutheran Parish. Lincoln, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's great to be back, Todd.
If there's a congregation that isn't using Luther's Small Catechism as, let's just say, the primary resource for instruction in the Christian faith, old and young, can that congregation credibly call itself Lutheran?
Not really. Technically, it's possible that a congregation could teach the content of the catechism without using it, but the catechism is so well written, I'm not sure why you would want to, and that's the question. If they're not using it, why aren't they? What about it do they find not acceptable? And I think you wouldn't have to look very hard to find out that they really don't like the doctrine in it. And then, in which case, no, they aren't Lutheran.
So why did Luther himself value this book? I mean, he'd written the thing, but he speaks so highly of it, you almost would think he didn't, because he very seldom spoke so highly of his own writings. He didn't even seem to appear to think that this was of his authorship. He thought it was of a different caliber. Why did Luther consider it so vital for home and for congregation, his Small Catechism?
Because it distills the basic teaching of Scripture into some very brief, very practical statements. And it looks at, as you mentioned, the six chief parts: the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. And it does so in such a concise and winsome way that even some of Luther's enemies at the time had to concede that the Small Catechism really wasn't offensive as such, even though, of course, they thought Luther was.
So let's talk about, first of all, the concept of a catechism. What kind of a form of instruction, what kind of a book are we talking about? And then you say it's really more akin to public preaching than it is to any kind of educational program. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, a catechism was originally the preaching that was done for catechumens, those coming into the church, in the early church. And over time, as that became a little more regularized, people started publishing books to help with that. And so those then became called catechisms. And when Luther writes his catechism, the small catechism is actually is condensed from the large. And the large catechism was a series of sermons that he preached to the people in Wittenberg. And so it's designed to be the practical handbook for Scripture for the people.
Why was Luther fairly intent on, I guess to kind of summarize his admonition, choose a version, stick with it, don't go changing the words? Why was that so important to him?
There's value in repetition. I know that's not much prized in education today, the idea of rote repetition, but that's how we learn things. And as a pastor, you find that those old texts that people have known for so long become more and more valuable to them. And every pastor has stories of members who are even in late-stage dementia, who still know the Lord's Prayer, who still know what's going on in the liturgy, and so still have that anchor to God and His Word, even though they may not even know their name anymore.
What is the goal of Christian catechesis?
The goal of catechesis is to bring someone into the life of God through the church, and to bring them into Jesus and into His life.
So this isn't simply we have to impart this bare minimum of information in order to respectably call these people upstanding members of the church.
Right. There's an idea that if you just give people the certain set of facts, that they themselves will then do what needs to be done with it. We just need to get, you know, so little Susie knows X, Y, and Z, and then we've done our job. But that's not what catechesis is. Catechesis is much more than that. Yes, there's certainly an element of knowledge to it, but St. Paul even addresses this. He says, you know, that you know that God is one. Oh, good, even the demons do, and tremble. It's not just about knowing things. It's about not only knowing salvation history, but then also believing that that is for you, that God gives forgiveness, grace, and mercy for Jesus' sake to you.
To the comparison with education, you note that modern education is founded on the idea that children kind of learn on their own, they're self-directed, it's a self-education, that instructors or teachers are there simply to facilitate, inspire, encourage, and then let the child go discover the world on their own. But you say, remarkably, that this model of education cannot work in the church. Why not?
Right. We're all sinners. And so if we go off on our own to try to discover things, we're going to go and discover sin. That's the fundamental problem with modern educational theory. It wants to let the child become all that they can be. Well, all that we can be without Jesus is a sinner. And when we catechize, we're really going against what our sinful flesh wants. And so to properly catechize is really, that's why I say it's preaching. We have to proclaim God's word of law and gospel to people in order to catechize. It's not just about memorization, although, again, that learning God's word is certainly part of it, but it's not just presenting facts and letting them discover for themselves. This goes against what our old Adam, our sinful flesh, wants, and so we can't just assume kids will end up in the right place. We have to actively direct that with God's word.
I mean, we're talking here about something that sounds like a bad word, but I don't think Christians of a bygone era would have considered it bad at all. Indoctrination, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Doctrine, the word doctrine just means teaching. And so to indoctrinate is to give someone a teaching. I don't see what's wrong with that. We teach children not to play with matches. We don't say, well, I want my kids to discover for themselves how dangerous fire can be. That's irresponsible parenting. And yet when it comes to eternal salvation, a lot of people just say, well, we'll let my kid find out about religion on his own. What that means is either I don't care or I'm just too lazy to teach them the things that I'm supposed to. Scripture says successful parenting is giving God's word to them, bringing them up in the fear and love of the Lord. That's what successful parenting is. And so parents who don't want to or are too lazy to do that really aren't fulfilling their God-given calling as parents.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the role of memorization, of the actual text of the catechism, the place of, well, good Bible stories, Bible narrative, the liturgy of the church and the hymnody of the church in the lifelong task of catechesis. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado; Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Stanza one of the hymn, the creedal hymn, We All Believe in One True God. Pastor Lincoln Winter is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 18th. We're talking about the place of Luther's small catechism in the life of the church. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Wheatland, Wyoming, and author of a new resource, Teach These Things, Catechesis in the Lutheran Parish. Pastor Winter, what's the role of the Bible story in good Christian catechesis?
In Bible stories, what we see is salvation history working itself out in the lives of people. And with Teach These Things, it uses a Bible story-based instruction because rather than abstract doctrinal statements like, you know, God is immutable, we can see that salvation history working itself out in lives of people, Cain and Abel, David and Bathsheba, Elijah. We see how they struggle with a lot of the same things we do. They weren't perfect. Actually, all of the same things we do, because they were tempted to sin as well. They need forgiveness, just like we do. And so we see how that works itself out in their lives, or in some case, doesn't work that self out in their lives, where people reject God's word. But then what we see by extension, and where we apply this, is then how God works his grace and mercy out in our lives.
So they're more than just illustrations. It sounds like they're foundation rather than illustration of the catechism.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Then the other aspects of the church's life, in particular the church's worship life, the liturgy, the hymnody, how does it play a part in all of this?
Well, it's been said that Luther sang the Reformation into the hearts of the people. In fact, even his opponents had to admit that they couldn't compete with their philosophical doctrines, with his simple hymnody, that people were just singing the faith. And so hymnody is very important to it, and the liturgy as well, because, of course, the liturgy is just portions of Scripture set to music, really. And so we have there a sung confession of the faith, and it's not only, it functions as a way for us to say back to God what he has already said to us, but it also functions as a way of us teaching each other the faith in our public life together.
So I'm picturing a scenario, and this is often kind of the incongruity that we encounter in the modern Lutheran congregation. That is, they may still be hanging on to Luther's catechism for instruction. They kind of feel a need to do that for some reason. They do it. But on Sunday morning, all that stuff that was there, the historic hymnody of the church, the liturgy of the church is gone. Maybe even they just have a children's church, which is kind of giggly-tickly children's songs, maybe a little message or a little skit to entertain the kids. What's the problem there? Where you have, yeah, they still have the catechism. Some of these kids are still learning the catechism, but their Sunday morning is trivial, frivolous, child's play.
Right, and in that context, the catechism is still a great anchor back to what we believe, teach, and confess, but it's not being lived in the life of the parish. And so, quite frankly, it won't be long before, and I've had this happen, someone comes to me and says, yeah, I'm a member at such and such church. They're not using the catechism in teaching the children at all. The pastor says we don't need it. And guess what? The liturgy's gone too. The two are absolutely tied together. If you lose one, someone doesn't think the other is important. They're only holding on to it to avoid angering people until they can get rid of it.
I want to talk here in the last few minutes about aspects of the catechism that sometimes are unrecognized. You say, first of all, that the catechism ought to be understood as a handbook rather than a textbook. What do you mean by that?
Well, when Luther wrote the catechism, it was supposed to be a practical guide to the Scripture and a practical guide for Christian living. He puts it this way in one of his prayers that we use in the liturgy, that we live in faith toward God and fervent love toward one another. And that is really just how the catechism is focused. About a century later, a man named Conrad Dietrich wrote an explanation, and it was based on Luther's catechism, but it wasn't intended for the same reason. It was intended as a textbook for schools, an advanced class in theology. And unfortunately, 400 years later, what we normally think of as the catechism is actually a revision of Dietrich's work, that academic work. And so people think of the catechism as a textbook. And that was one of the reasons I did this. I heard so often the complaint that kids are going through instruction, but they don't understand how to relate what they're learning to their lives. And I believe firmly the reason for that is we've abandoned Luther's more practical approach. And so what I've tried to do with Teach These Things is to follow the outline of Luther's Large Catechism. And in fact, Luther's Large Catechism is included in outline form in Teach These Things. Hopefully, it is a more practical way of teaching. In my experience, it certainly is.
With about a minute here, your thoughts on, and this is something I didn't really understand until, I guess, maybe my seminary days, hearing the professors talk about Luther's Small Catechism also as a prayer book for the Christian. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Winter?
Absolutely, absolutely. Prayer is the foundation of our daily life. Luther has, in the Small Catechism, people praying six times a day. And not stopping your work, but you sit down to a meal, you get up from a meal, you get up from bed, you go to bed. Those times when there's a break, to spend time in prayer, to spend time with the Word of God, meditating on that Word of God and praying. And the Small Catechism is one of the best resources I know to do that, to consider what has God given me, how is my conduct stacking up, what blessings do I have today because I am a baptized child of God and God is my Father? Those sorts of questions. The Catechism answers those and gives a great pattern for just a prayerful consideration of God's Word.
With only a minute, two aspects of it that I think we need to mention, and that is, one, the Catechism as a key to understanding the Bible. That's what I've discovered. If I keep the Catechism in my brain, it helps me. It's a tremendous guide through Holy Scripture wherever I may be, and it always guides me back to Christ. Your thoughts there with about a minute, Pastor Winter.
Absolutely. That's actually, when I look at a text for a sermon, for preaching, that's how I consider it. What part of the six chief parts is this talking about, and how does this bring us Jesus? And that's just a very basic, I think, understanding of God's Word that everyone, whether pastor, layperson, anyone, any Christian should keep in mind.
Pastor Lincoln Winter is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Wheatland, Wyoming, and he's author of a new resource for the congregation. It's called Teach These Things, Catechesis in the Lutheran Parish. You can check it out. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for Teach These Things, Catechesis in the Lutheran Parish. Pastor Winter, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thank you very much. And if you go to my website, teachthesethings.org, WordPress.com. I assume you'll have a link. I have samples coming up. The syllabus will be posted soon, and the examination game show.
Oh, okay. We'll have the link there this afternoon. When we come back, George Conger is going to join us to kick off Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. Media coverage of two stories. One, the religious roots of the conflict between Russia and the West. The Russians and their media seem to recognize this, a clash of worldviews. The Russians view themselves as a resurgent Christian society and civilization. Why isn't that being reported in the Western press? The Russian foreign minister actually made a speech on the 4th of June saying that there are religious roots to the disparities, the conflict, the ongoing conflict between Russia and Western Europe and the United States. But it wasn't recorded that way in the Western media. And also the story about the death of the last communist leader of Poland, who lived his life in communist Poland as an atheist, persecuted the church, was an enemy of the church there, but shortly before his death converted to Catholicism and died and celebrated his final rites as a Catholic. We'll talk about media coverage of both of those things with George Conger on Issues Etc. right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.